And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the ongoing and really renewed effort at trying to increase the COVID-19 lockdown scenario, which is getting worse in places like Australia. But what's happening in Australia could very well be a foreshadowing of what we're going to see happening more and more here in the United States of America in the days ahead. Remember, according to the Rockefeller scenario, the situation is supposed to get worse, not better. There's a lot of interesting reports out there. One of these reports, now from a doctor, and they're always saying, trust the science, trust the science. Here you've got an article from the conservative playlist, and it's by Dr. Joseph Mercola, and the headline says, quote, Delta variant, natural immunity 700% better than the vaccine. And then the article goes on to give all the evidence showing that your natural immunity is 700% better to protect you from this new Delta variant that they're warning about, and probably from coronavirus overall, COVID-19 overall. You're much better off without the vaccine. Nevertheless, they keep pushing the vaccine, and there is this increased call to condemn those who are not yet vaccinated, and that the unvaccinated, in fact, the governor of Alabama, I got a phone call from a family member yesterday who was telling me about how the governor of Alabama has now said that the people who have refused to be vaccinated up to now, they are the problem. That is what we are hearing over and over and over again. And there's just more and more articles on this about using intimidation, this going door to door. But even for those who are getting vaccinated, are they better off? No, they're telling, even once you've been vaccinated, they're telling you should still wear a mask anyway. Just looking at a few headlines here at Breitbart News, their main headline right now, it says, quote, CDC to reverse course, recommend masks for vaccinated people. COVID-1984, be afraid again, obey again. In other words, they're back to the mask mandates, the mask recommendations. You thought that they were going to get rid of them. Now they want to go back to them. Even once all these people have been vaccinated, they're telling the people who have gotten the vaccine, they still need to be wearing a mask. You have Penn State. Here's another article. Penn State sponsors vaccine street team to go door to door in Philadelphia. Going door to door for vaccines. And again, it remains to be seen whether or not they're going to try to administer a vaccine door to door or just talk to people to find out who has or who has not been vaccinated. That will be the next thing to watch for. Here's a story on Joy Behar. Joy Behar, one of the hosts for The View, the left-wing women's gossip show. And Joy Behar says the next step is threats for the unvaccinated. Threats for the unvaccinated. Let's listen to what she said.
I just saw this morning that the CDC is now saying that even vaccinated people should be wearing masks indoors, which I have been doing when I go to the supermarket, etc. Now, here's the thing about mandates. We've given them lottery tickets. We've given people incentives all over the place. Football tickets, Krispy Kremes. In West Virginia, they offered to give them a gun. Apparently, that's the only shot that they're scared of is the vaccine, not getting actually shot. So yeah. Bribery didn't work. Okay? So the next step has to be what we might look at as threats. You're not going to be able to go into a restaurant unless you're vaccinated. You're not going to be able to go into a museum. You're not going to be able to go into a theater. In France, President Macron has already made this a mandate. And as of the past 24 hours, 1.3 million people have signed up. He didn't even put it into effect. He just said he's going to do it. And 1.3 million people have signed up. Just the idea that you are going to lose your so-called freedom is scaring people. By the way, one more small thing. Why is their freedom more important than my freedom to not get sick? I don't understand that idea that I'm taking away their freedom. They are basically taking my freedom away by not getting vaccinated.
Wow, so that is where we're at on COVID-19. Apparently, if you don't get this highly experimental, untested, because no, they haven't had time to test it. Anybody who tells you that they've been tested and they're perfectly safe, the only people who say that are the so-called fact checkers on Facebook and Twitter and things like that. These people are not doctors. If they were, they would have to lie, because real medical professionals know you're not going to be able to test something like these vaccines in such a short period of time. You can't produce something in a matter of months, throw it together and say, OK, it's been fully tested. They have no way of knowing what the long term effects of these vaccines are going to be, because they simply haven't been around long enough. Remember, science is knowledge obtained through observation. You observe things. You have to have time to observe what's going to happen. That's real science. It's not people playing guessing games and theories like Dr. Fauci. That's not science. A guy in a white lab coat is not science. Science is knowledge obtained through observation. That's what science is. And you have to actually see what's going to happen when something is applied. And there simply hasn't been enough time to know how these vaccines are going to impact people, although there is certainly many cases where people have died. People are suffering harmful side effects. There are thousands and thousands of cases like that, which are largely being ignored or covered up by the media. But what Joy Behar seems to be applying, and I'm going to point this out, and I'm going to encourage Christians and patriots to watch for this. What she seems to be applying is this new left-wing right that I've heard over and over again, and it is the right to feel safe. The right to feel safe. That if you can't force other people to do things, then you don't feel safe. And this is what she's saying. Oh, that her safety is in jeopardy because other people are not getting the vaccine. So she's got to force everybody to get this vaccine, even though it's dangerous. She's got to be able to force people, or else her freedom is supposedly threatened. That's just sort of a variation of another argument that we've heard, where you have people claiming that their right to feel safe is threatened by the Second Amendment. That if somebody owns a firearm, that they don't feel safe knowing that somebody owns a firearm, so their right to feel safe is threatened. Listen for this, because I've heard it repeatedly. And on this note, we have to talk, because all of this is working together. It's all working together. The hype that they're bringing up on COVID-19, crackdown on liberty, and now with Joe Biden in the White House, who has openly and repeatedly said that he wants to confiscate AR-15 rifles. And he's openly said that. He was asked, we heard last time in the last program, when Anderson Cooper at CNN said people are saying that if Biden becomes president, he's going to confiscate guns. And Biden says, bingo, yes, if you own an AR-15. So he's openly said that before. Now it's not just the AR-15. Now Biden is talking about 9mm handguns. Folks, as many of you out there, I'm sure, know, the 9mm pistol or 9mm handgun is probably the most common firearm in America. I'm trying to think if there is a more common firearm than a 9mm pistol. People who don't necessarily own a rifle or a shotgun or whatever, they will quite often just have a 9mm pistol for self-defense or for target shooting, that kind of thing, it's probably the most common firearm in the country. It's just unbelievable that Biden would even suggest having a ban on 9mm pistols. But let's listen to this audio. This is from a CNN town hall where Biden is answering a question and he talks about banning 9mm handguns. Listen.
Actually, crime is down. Gun violence and murder rates are up. Guns. I'm the only guy that ever got past legislation when I was a senator to make sure we eliminated assault weapons. The idea you need a weapon that can have the ability to fire 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, whether it's a 9mm pistol or whether it's a rifle, is ridiculous. I'm continuing to push to eliminate the sale of those things.
Okay, folks, now I'm going to tell you what I think is going on. But just so you know, this whole issue has been acknowledged by the NRA. By the NRA. They've got an article at the NRA ILA website, which is their legal division. And the headline says, quote, Biden reiterates call to ban 9mm handguns. And then they go over this statement that we just played. And they say in the article, quote, of course, any semi-automatic firearm capable of accepting a detachable magazine has the ability to fire in the manner Biden deemed objectionable. Therefore, the seasoned grandstander statement was a call to ban all semi-automatic handguns, rifles, and shotguns capable of accepting a detachable magazine. That's how they are interpreting this. And they go on to say that this was not the first time that Biden has advocated for such a wide-ranging gun ban. And talks about a November 2019 article in the Seattle Times. And they quote Biden. They say, quote, while speaking to attendees at one of the soirees, Biden reportedly asked attendees, quote, why should we allow people to have military-style weapons, including pistols with 9mm bullets, and can hold 10 or more rounds? All right, so just to show you, this is not one person's interpretation of what Biden has said. Biden has said this before. He has talked about this issue before. And yes, the NRA and some Second Amendment watchdogs, they are talking about this on the internet. This is serious, folks. This is very, very serious because this would affect even far more people than are being affected over the issue of the AR-15. A lot of people don't necessarily own an AR-15 rifle, but if they're talking about all semi-automatic rifles and all semi-automatic pistols, that is a massive population of our country. And the reason that whether you're a gun owner or not, and maybe you're indifferent about the Second Amendment. I've got at least one friend that I think of. He's a pastor. He's a very, very nice guy. Does not own a firearm. He says for him, it's just, you know, his own conscience. He's not comfortable with it. But he says he's thankful that he has neighbors that do own firearms and that they are very particular about the Second Amendment because he feels safer as a citizen knowing that there's people who live around him who have the capability to defend the neighborhood he lives in. The proper application of the right to keep and bear arms is to defend our homes, our families, and our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. But what do I think is going on? Well, we're going to talk about Joe Biden. We're going to talk about his relationship to the Jesuit order. And we're going to talk about the Jesuits' influence in all of this, because I believe that has everything to do with why they are going after the handguns. But we're going to talk about that when we come back from our commercial break right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family, because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now, Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about what's going on with COVID-19, coronavirus. The situation in Australia, for example, is very, very bad. Right now, they're going into more intense lockdowns, and they've got crowds of people. Many, many thousands of people in Australia are out on the streets protesting, overwhelming the police forces there and so on, because they have had enough. They're saying enough is enough. Here you've got an article from Rebel News, which is an independent news source out of Canada. And the headline says, quote, Australia's COVID prison colony ridiculed by the world. And then they go on in the article. They say, quote, Australia remains an outlier when it comes to dealing with COVID. Ridiculed for descending into a penal colony, its neighbors have been shocked by the authoritarian rhetoric of Australia's premiers and chief health officers. Now, we've played some of that rhetoric in our previous programs, where you've got Australian newscasters talking about how they're entering into the new world order with all of these lockdowns. And they're using that phrase repeatedly, calling it a new world order. And you're just going to have to get used to all these restrictions, etc. And that they're basically turning the country into lockdown. Now, here is commentary. We're going to listen to some brief commentary from one of the prominent speakers and thinkers there in Australia, Alan Jones. And he's talking about how Australia, in his opinion, is becoming a laughingstock around the world because of all of these excessive, tyrannical COVID restrictions there. Listen.
We're a laughingstock around the world. In several television programs in the United States, the position by Berejiklian Clinton's government has been mocked relentlessly. Dan Bongino is an American political commentator, a radio and television host, and an author. He hosts on Fox News, Unfiltered with Dan Bongino. Listen to this.
You can't have a third world republic that subverts basic freedoms without subversing or subversion of basic freedoms, correct? Subversion of basic freedoms is a part of subverting basic freedoms. Well, what if you lived in a country that said you can't go out, you can't open your business, you can't practice your religion, you can't meet with your friends? You'd be like, oh my gosh, that's not happening. Oh no, that's happening right now in Sydney, Australia. You doubt me? Check out this local news coverage in Australia where they're not only saying they don't even have any regrets. The government tyrants that are doing this to the citizens of Australia. Here, play cut one. Sydney has totally given up on freedom and liberty. Check this out.
Good evening. Within hours, Sydney will be in the grip of much tougher restrictions. The Premier clamping down on the stubborn Delta outbreak with what she's calling a no regrets policy. And this is why. From a record 82,000 tests, the state today recorded 111 cases and tragically the third COVID death in this outbreak, a man aged in his 80s from the city's southeast. Across Greater Sydney, retail shops will now close. A small list of essential stores can remain open. Construction sites across the city shut down. And from midnight tonight, 110 suburbs across Liverpool, Fairfield and Canterbury-Bankstown will be sealed shut. That's 900,000 residents who can't leave their area, even for work.
Okay, the fact that all of these different governments are all part of this globalist system. And we're watching what's going on in Canada, where the pastors are being arrested, the churches are being targeted specifically. We're watching what's going on in Australia here, where they're intensifying the lockdowns and so on. We're watching what's going on in England. In England, they're going back into lockdown, and many people are objecting. And it is an attempt by these international communists. That's why they've got this so well coordinated in all these different countries, because they've been building this globalist network between the League of Nations that then becomes the United Nations, that then splits off into the European Union. And you've got the Bilderberg Group. You've got all these international bodies that have been working together in a variety of different ways for the last 100 years. And they've been setting this whole thing up. That's why this network with the media has been consolidated in our country. Used to be mainstream media was owned by 50 different companies back in the 1980s and so on. Then they consolidated those. Now here in America, you've got 6 companies that are controlling mainstream media. And similar things have happened in these different countries around the world. That's why you've got a handful of people globally who are controlling all of these decisions that are being made, because they've been consolidating power for 100 years. And we know the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. And certainly the Vatican plays, I think, a huge role in all of this. They're not alone. You can't say that it's all the Vatican, but the Vatican most certainly, and the Jesuits run the Vatican. We have to remember that. And I believe they're very involved in the decisions that are being made in our country and in other countries. In fact, I was doing some research. Here you've got an article in the Sydney Morning Herald. And this is from the year 2013. It says, quote, in Canberra, as it is in Rome, here come the Jesuits. And then it goes on to talk about the power and influence of the Jesuit order in Australia. And it talks about Jesuit influences. Tony Abbott and Barnaby Joyce are both old Ignatians, two of the political figures there. They talk about how the Jesuit general is called the Black Pope. They acknowledge that. When they talked about Tony Abbott's influence, they said at one point, quote, Abbott's coalition ministry is shaping as a kind of Jesuit jamboree. That's what they called it. But their main influence is through education, through the schools, colleges, and universities. Here's a line from this article in the Sydney Morning Herald. They say this, quote, the Jesuits have been anointed with their own adjective and popular dictum, quote, give me a child until he is 7, and I will give you the man. In other words, if they can influence a child from the earliest age up until he's 7 years old, what that's proposing is that that is who he will be. He will remember those lessons that he learns, that child, by the time he's 7 years old, and that will carry him through the rest of his life. That's basically what they're saying. And this article goes on to talk about the heavy influence that the Jesuits have specifically over the Catholic population there in Australia. In fact, let me read just one more line from this article to show you the kind of influence they have there, at least according to the Sydney Morning Herald. This is what it says, quote, "For more than 100 years, through a mixture of educational excellence, snobbery, astute appreciation of societal changes, and high fees, the Jesuits retained a stranglehold on shaping the intellectual development of the sons of well-to-do Australian Catholics." Okay? Jesuits retained a stranglehold on shaping the intellectual development of these well-to-do Australian Catholics. So that gives you some impression. Now, this is what they're publishing in the mainstream. This is not a conspiracy publication here. This is the Sydney Morning Herald. This is a very mainstream newspaper. All right, now, with all that in mind, bear in mind, I've talked about this before, of course, two of the new Supreme Court justices, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, were both educated at a Jesuit prep school, the same Jesuit prep school. I pointed this out before they were appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Joe Biden now. We're dealing with the person occupying the White House, Joe Biden, who they are calling the president of the United States, attends a Jesuit-run D.C. parish. Now, that is according to America Magazine. America Magazine, back in June of this year, 2021, has a headline that says, quote, "Joe Biden's Jesuit-run D.C. parish says it will not deny the Eucharist." Apparently, there was that whole question about whether or not communion would be granted to Catholics who held certain ideas, etc. And of course, the Jesuits, they're going to have a very, very liberal, excessively tolerant view because that's what they're known for throughout history. But notice the person sitting in the White House right now is attending a church, a Catholic church, run by the Jesuits. Bear this in mind. Now follow me. The same America Magazine, back in 2013, published an article titled "Repeal the Second Amendment." Repeal the Second Amendment. And we've gone over this article before. I want to draw your attention to a particular paragraph, because they're envisioning in this, they're envisioning the post-repeal America. What America is going to look like after they finally get to repeal the Second Amendment in our country, which they have been working on since at least the 1970s, if not before. And here's a paragraph that proves what I'm saying. In this same article, they said this, quote, "In the most comprehensive statement on gun violence to come from the U.S. Bishops' Conference," that's U.S. Catholic bishops, "their conference in 1975, a committee identified, quote, the easy availability of handguns in our society as a major threat to human life and called for effective and courageous action to control handguns, leading to their eventual elimination from our society." Let me read that again, folks. This is a U.S. Catholic bishops back in 1975. The committee identified the easy availability of handguns in our society as a major threat to human life and called for effective and courageous action to control handguns, leading to their eventual elimination from our society. Now, is it possible that this is what's behind Joe Biden going to a Jesuit church there in D.C.? Does this have something to do with why he is specifically targeting 9mm handguns, the most common handgun probably in the United States of America? Is that why he's doing it? is he being motivated and compelled by Jesuit advisors to do what he's doing? This wouldn't be the first time in history. Remember, the revocation of the Edict of Nantes, which is considered one of the great catastrophes to befall the Protestant Huguenots in France, because that basically overturned their rights. The Edict of Nantes protected the rights of the Huguenots, the French Protestants. And it was a Jesuit named La Chaise who manipulated the king for a long period of time until he finally got the king to overturn the Edict of Nantes. And the Jesuits were ultimately blamed for that. But what was it? Basically, it was like a miniature constitution or Bill of Rights. It was a document that protected the freedom of religion and freedom of conscience of the Huguenots there in France during that time period. And so the Jesuits, of course, they hated that document. They worked continually to find a way to overturn it. And it was by having a Jesuit confessor with the ear of the king that he manipulated him to get him to go and overturn the Edict of Nantes. So this kind of relationship that the Jesuits have with political leaders is well known throughout history. That's just one example. There are many others. Remember, Dr. Fauci is a Jesuit. The people who are in charge of all this COVID-19 stuff in Washington, D.C., most of them have some link, directly or indirectly, to the Jesuit order. It is very likely they are the ones who are manipulating this. And now, here we see Joe Biden pursuing the U.S. Catholic bishops' agenda from all the way back in 1975. It's important that we remember these programs that globalists, whether they're communist, socialist, whether it's the Rockefeller Foundation or the Jesuit order, these programs that they initiate and they pursue often take decades for them to bring to pass. It's why, and people who study these things know what I'm talking about, it's why you had somebody like Ralph Epperson back in the 1980s when he wrote his book on the New World Order. He was foretelling back then that they were going to bring in gay marriage, that homosexual marriage was going to become eventually normalized or legalized in our system, and it would be many years later, 2015, before it actually happened. But that's how these programs are often initiated by these subversive groups. They work on them continually, and that's what the progressive movement is all about, progressively pushing further and further and further. Now, some people are tempted to think, well, it's the end times, and this is just what's going to happen before the Antichrist arises, and the rapture is going to happen any day now. That could be the case. That could be the case, brother and sister Christians out there. That could be the case. The Lord knows. However, I will tell you, as a believer and one who does believe in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe there will be a rapture. I don't necessarily believe in the timeline that was set forth by John Nelson Darby back in the 19th century, but nevertheless, I believe there will be a rapture. However, my study of history has been that what we are seeing happen, the pattern that we are seeing happen in our country right now, has happened over and over and over again throughout the history of the church. You've had periods where Christians who love the Lord and who are trying to serve God go through periods where they have periods of rest, like we read in the Bible, where it'll say, and the land had rest for 10 years or 20 years and so on, meaning that they didn't have persecution, they didn't have tyranny, they didn't have some enemy that was oppressing them for a certain period of time. And if you study church history, you'll see that this happens over and over again. There's periods of persecution followed by a time of rest and, a reasonable amount of peace for Christian people. And then they're entered into another crisis period later on. These things have happened over and over and over again. The creeping tyranny is exactly what our forefathers were describing right before the American Revolution. In fact, if you study the what they call the plan to enslave the American colonists, according to George Mason, that was a plan that went back for some 40 years prior. In the Declaration of Independence, let me just read to you part of the Declaration of Independence and consider the wording. It says this: "All experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government." Okay, so notice what the declaration here is saying. A long train of abuses, in other words, not just one event that happens, a long train of abuses and usurpations, usurping authority, usurping really the authority of the rule of law, because that was what was going on. You watch our film, True Christian History of America, we make that point that King George III and his redcoats, they kept breaking the laws, the common law of England. A long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, that it becomes clear that, okay, all of these manipulations that these powers are working on here, they want to reduce us under absolute despotism, meaning to enslave our society. That is what they are working to do. And it's not based on any single event. It's based on a long train of abuses. So this is why I say our forefathers were well familiar with these things. It's why I recommend reading J.A. Wiley and his History of Protestantism, also his History on the Jesuits, because he describes the whole process of subversion. One step at a time, this happens, then that. They go into the Congress or the Parliament, or they go and they manipulate the laws, etc., etc. This happens over and over and over again, folks. So it could just mean that our society, God forbid, could be thrown into a time of tyranny and oppression, just like the Soviet Union or Russia, rather. Remember, Russia, been a Christian country for more than 1,000 years, fell into a dark period with Soviet communism. Germany had been a Christian country for many centuries, fell into a time of darkness with Nazi socialism. Just because these things are happening does not necessarily mean it's the end of the world, but God forbid it could be the end of liberty in the United States of America. Just because the Turks invaded Constantinople in 1453, which had been a Christian society for more than 1,000 years, that didn't mean it was the end of the world. No, actually, the suffering of the Greek Christians there would continue for centuries afterward. You see what I'm saying? It's why we have to be very, very careful how we analyze and consider these things, because there are many believers out there. There's many Christians who are telling themselves that, well, the end of the world's going to happen here any day. And so they believe they don't need to stand up and fight and do what Jesus said, occupy till I come, to resist these things. And to say, wait a second, no, we're not going to cooperate with this. We're going to push back, and we're going to insist that the rule of law be upheld in our country, because our ancestors fought for these laws for many centuries. They weren't just thrown together. That's part of the reason why I made my film, True Christian History, is to show fellow believers and Americans that the elements that we have, the key elements that we have in our founding documents, are not just casually thrown together. These are things that were fought for by our Bible-believing Christian forefathers for hundreds of years, going back to Alfred the Great and Magna Carta. But we praise God for the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also praise God for the more sure word of prophecy that we have that warns us about all of these things that are happening, things that have happened in the past, things that are happening now. And we are also given light through prophecy about those things that are yet to come before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we believe in that future time, that future gathering of all saints with the Lord Jesus will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You know, one of my favorite verses in the New Testament is from the book of Acts, Acts verse 3 and 21, where Peter is preaching. Well, let's go back to verse 20. He says, And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Praise the Lord. So as we're seeing all these troublesome things happening around us, brethren, we don't forget God's promise. While we're here, we should occupy till the Lord returns, and we should do whatever work the Lord has for us to do our duty before God. But we look forward to that day of the times of the restitution of all things. God has promised that all these things, whatever they are, will be reconciled, and the day will come where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.